Well, first of all, I bring greetings from Burma Gospel Hall, from where I come, and I'm glad to see all of you here again. As I pointed out, 2 nights ago, the last time I was here was over four years ago, and our brother Sifu was then a young man, not a grandfather as yet, but now he's a grandfather. So he's a grandfather of two. I'm just trying to make him older faster, so that he can catch up with me faster still. So anyway, we are happy that he is now a grandfather. Alright, now, why am I here? I'm here because our brother Sifu wrote to me, inviting me to come here. Frankly speaking, I would not have accepted his invitation because my program is already very tight for the year 2011. I had a very, very heavy, tight schedule, and to squeeze him into my tight schedule would be very, very hard indeed. But then I had not seen all of you for over 4 years, and my sacrifice a bit. And so my time here has been a result of some pressure and burden upon me, especially mentally and physically as well, because lately I just had a fall and I had to go to hospital, and all these things handicapped me quite a bit. But praise the Lord, I'm here with you today. And I'm with you today to speak on the year of the dragon. Now 2011 was a bad year for me in a way, bad in that it was very, very heavy, but good in that it brought many blessings to me and to others whom I ministered. So it was a kapalapening to me, very kapalapening. But hopefully this year, 2012, will be a better year. So 2012 creeps in very slowly. Hopefully it will be a better year for me. But as far as I know, now is the month of May, it is not that good as yet. It's quite heavy. Well, hopefully the Lord will lead me on and strengthen me, because the rest of this year after May will be a very heavy schedule for me. Apart from the normal meetings in August, I shall be going to Taiwan for the Asia Pacific Christian Conference, and then I shall be taking quite a number of meetings over there too after the conference, and then in September I'll be going to Farampo again. So I've got quite a big schedule. So up to now, the schedule is quite tight. Still, this year of the dragon, what can I know, or what can we learn from it? This year of dragon, hopefully it will not be as happening to me. Well, the year of the dragon at Kledang Community Chapel, today, 20th May. And let's see what we can learn. Now, try to remember this. While I speak on the year of dragon and is associated with Chinese New Year, and the dragon is, according to the Chinese zodiac, the year of 2012 is the year of the dragon, which begins on January 23rd, 2012, and ends on February 9, 2013. The dragon is the fifth sign of the Chinese zodiac. While I refer to this, please note that this study is not a horoscope study. I'm not going to forecast your fortune. It is against the scriptures. But I'm taking the opportunity of studying the dragon, the word dragon, in the Bible to see what we can learn from it. I have been doing this for over 25 to 30 years already, year after year without fail. Every animal in the Chinese New Year has been studied in the Bible. So today is the ultimate auspicious symbols signifying success and happiness. That's what the world thinks of Chinese of the dragon, a very auspicious year. Alright. Now, legend says that the farther dragons travel from their home to China, in China, the more toes they have. That is why the Chinese dragon has 5 toes. This is just for your information and knowledge. The Korean dragon has 4 toes. So next time you see the dragons, you understand where the dragon comes from. Whereas the Japanese dragon has 3 toes. Unfortunately, when wandering dragons return to home in China, all their missing toes grow back. But as most dragons would prefer to keep all their toes all the time, they refuse to leave home. Just as many of us will not leave home in order to preach the gospel. Still, we thank the Lord for those who have gone out. You are a dragon if you were born in the year 1916, 28, 40, 52, 64, 70, 88, 2000. And of course 2012. If you are born in 2012, well, I think you will be just still in your mother's arms, as I see one or two at the back. Well, I will not go into asking you, are you a dragon? Because I think ladies will never show that they are dragons. The moment they tell me that they are dragons, I know how old they are already. So they won't indicate with their hands that they are dragons. But never mind, you know whether you are a dragon or not. If you are a dragon, pay careful attention to what you are going to say. But don't worry, it is not a horoscope, it is not a forecast of your fortune. The Chinese predict and believe that the year of the dragon will usher in peace and prosperity. Well, up to now in the month of May, I'm not sure whether you have found peace and prosperity. In the country alone, in Malaysia, it has not been that peaceful up to now. And it doesn't look it's going to be that peaceful in the months ahead. Still, that is the Chinese prediction, because the year of the dragon is supposed to be prosperous. However, the Bible prophesies that the year of the dragon will bring in persecution unprecedented in history. That is when the dragon comes on the scene. As far as the biblical dragon is concerned, it has not appeared yet. It has not appeared physically. But when it appears physically, then there will be unprecedented persecution, never experienced before or never to be experienced later in the history of humankind. And that's the time when we shall learn about this dragon. How do I know about that? Because in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, we read that the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Cast out from where? You see, at the moment, the dragon is in the atmosphere. Just now I heard somebody quoting from Ephesians chapter 2 that he is the prince of the power of the air. At the moment, Satan is in the prince of the power of the air. He is there, but he has been cast out from heaven when he was very proud and he wanted to be like God. God cast him down. But he is now occupying the atmosphere, the prince of the power of the air, where the spirits are. But the time is coming when he will be cast down from that position to earth. And when he comes down to earth, that is the time when there will be tremendous persecution, because he knows that his time is short and he will persecute all those that inhabit the earth. We shall study that, not only a little briefly today, but this evening we shall study that in great detail when he is cast down from heaven, because he will have a battle, a duel with Michael the Archangel. We read of that in Daniel chapter 12, that he will be cast down onto the earth. He who is the accuser of the brethren night and day, accusing all of us, he will be cast down and he will create havoc upon the earth in the great tribulation. Now beware of the deceptive dragon. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, we read that all of us need to take upon ourselves the armor of God. And we need to protect ourselves from top, from the head, from the crown to the toe, because of the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. Now please note that Satan is always very deceptive. The dragon, Satan, is always very deceptive. 2 Corinthians 2:11, we are told that we are not ignorant of the devices. He has got many devices. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we are told that he, as a roaring lion, walked about seeking whom he may devour. And his deception is so great that he even penetrates the scriptures. So much so that today, no one knows very clearly how to translate the Hebrew word tehillim. Tehillim. Alright, now if you look at the various translations in the Bible, of the Bible, King James Version would translate the word tehillim in Hebrew is actually just to mean marine or land monster, a sea serpent or jackal. But we find King James Version translated as whales in Genesis 1:21. That's the first occurrence of the word tent, first occurrence. And we find it translated as whales, the NIV as creatures, the ASV as sea monsters, the Chinese Bible as big fish. Then in Exodus 7:9, we know the story very well of Moses being told by God to tell Aaron to cast his rod onto the floor in front of Pharaoh, and then the rod will turn into serpent, and that is standing. And KNIV can see a snake, and well, the others a serpent. Then Nehemiah 2:13, Nehemiah went on a tour before he went to Jerusalem to survey the land, and he came across Jekyll's well, and KNIV can see dragon's well. But they're still telling. Then, Isaiah 27 verse 1, we have reference to a very, very big monster. And again, KJV translates it as dragon, whereas NIV monster, ASV serpent, and big fish was Chinese version. And Lamentations 4:3, we are told that Israel was worse than even the creatures in the sea or anywhere. Because these creatures know how to feed their young when they are thirsty. But Israel doesn't even bother about their young. Not bother about the people. They allow the people to suffer. And the word tending is used, KJV translates it as whale, monster, and so on. Well, whatever it is, you find that even in the scriptures, dragon deceives people and makes people to believe him to be whatever they think it is. Very deceptive. However, the word dragon occurs only in the New Testament, in all versions, and it is from the Greek word drakon. It has, again, the translators do not know what this drakon actually is. So what do? They did not translate it as monster, serpent, sea, snake anymore. So they transliterate it. Drakon, dragon, dragon. And that's how you get dragon. It's not an English word. It has been transliterated. And in the New Testament, it occurs 13 times. And all only in the book of Revelation. 13 times. Revelation 12, 3, 4, and so on. Now, this is a dragon. But I want to make sure that the dragon is not necessarily the dragon that we are familiar with in pictures of the Chinese culture and magazine and so on. Because the translators themselves, not knowing what dragon actually is, they just transliterate the word dragon into dragon. Hopefully that you and I may know, but we don't know. So please know that dragon or dragon is not what we think it is. Okay. So it is a mystery. It has no, you cannot find it in the zoo. We do not know what it is. It has no zoological connection. Some unknown marine or land monster, as we have pointed out in the table that I showed you last. Its cultural denotation, what it is, depends mainly on what the culture is. Chinese will conceive a dragon of this type, Europeans, another type, and so on. Alright, so it depends on the country, the culture, or the cult. But the biblical translation is, it is like a serpent, like it is a serpent-like monster, or a desert creature, depending on the version of the Old Testament used. But as pointed out, in the New Testament, it's always used of the dragon. And it is noteworthy that in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, the word dragon occurs 13 times. Now, we know the significance of numbers. Two nights ago, we were studying the significance of symbolism in the scriptures, and here is one number that is very significant. 13 is a number of rebellion. 13 is a number of rebellion. Just as 7 is a number of completion and perfection. And it is significant that the word dragon is or occurs 13 times in the book of Revelation, because dragon is the very significant symbol of rebellion. Alright, now because of this dragon being linked to Satan, today people are afraid of the dragon, the picture of a dragon. So that when they see any dragon, they are afraid. They somehow or other will link it into Satan. So that I still remember an occasion in the year of the dragon. You know, I write newsletters, Berita Beto. You can check on some of these newsletters of mine in my website. Now I write newsletters. So in the year of dragon, one year, I had a picture of the dragon in my newsletter. Now there's a one lovely brother that I grew up with. We were baptized together even. But in over the years, he left us to join a charismatic group. So knowing what he would stand for, I did not send him my newsletter. But unfortunately, my wife, not knowing my intention, carelessly sent it out to him. Then I received a nasty letter rebuking me because of the dragon in my newsletter. And after that, he was not friendly with me anymore, because I was associated with the dragon, Satan. I'm satanic. So what happens? I just get quiet. There's no point to do go against his beliefs and so on. So we left it there. But later on, he stabilized himself, settled down, he wrote a long letter of apology to me. And in the end, we were good friends again. But today, he is in heaven and I'm waiting to go and meet him. And I asked him, what do you think of the dragon now? Alright, so let not such things frighten us. We are not superstitious. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 has to say that we have overcome the world. He that is in us is stronger than he that is in the world. We have overcome all these things. The spirit, the antichrist around us. 1 John chapter 4 verse 3. There are all these antichrists around us. We need not have to be afraid. We have to know that there is one who has overcome the devil, who has overcome the dragon, and who has overcome all the antichrists around us. He that is in us has overcome all that is around us. Let us not be afraid. Now, the facts of scripture are these. The devil is not only known as a dragon, the devil is also known as a lion. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we read, your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Oh, now the devil is the lion, no more a dragon. So don't wear pictures of the dragon on your body, or have any pictures of the lion or the lion in your house, because you are inviting the devil into your house. Now, let us not live under such superstition. Let us remember, while the lion is a picture, a metaphor of the devil, it is also used of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ is a lion of Judah. He's a lion. So, are we afraid of lions? So, remember this, that in scripture, these animals are used as metaphors to describe certain characteristics of that particular personality. So, let us not be afraid of these metaphors that are used. So, if you have your notes, I have skipped a lot of things with regard to the dragon being in the metaphors of the dragon, because I don't think I have time. So I will skip over them. If you are interested, you can do two things. One, take my notes, study them, go back and search the scriptures if the things are so. Two, go to my website. This PowerPoint file will be on the website in full, without those slides being taken away. And you can see what I have. So I will jump that section and I come on to the study of the dragon itself. Because my purpose here is not to study about the dragon that is a metaphor or that is believed by other people and so on, but what does the Bible say about the dragon? And the Bible says, beware of the deadly dragon, Revelation chapter 12. Now from now onwards, we are going to look at Revelation chapter 12. If you have your Bible, it would be nice to open your Bible to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Because we are going to study the whole chapter where the word dragon occurs again and again. Firstly, chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, we have the appearance of the dragon. Then, chapter 12, verses 3, second part to 6, we have the attacks by the dragon. Alright, with that as the general analysis of the chapter, let us go into greater detail. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let us read. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and under her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Now yesterday, I told you all, Revelation is an easy book to understand. Now, you come across a verse like this, well, firstly, you know that it must be symbolic. And how, therefore, can you explain these symbols? I told you and I advise you to buy a good reference, a Bible with a reference margin. Now, if you have a Bible with a reference margin, you will surely find that there is a reference in chapter 12, verse 1, directing you to Genesis chapter 37 verse 9. Genesis 37 verse 9. And that's why by comparing scripture with scripture, you can then interpret your Bible or the difficult verses clearly. Now, if you look at Genesis 37 verse 9, you will find that it has a reference to Joseph. Joseph had a dream. And in that dream, he saw a moon, the moon and the sun, together with 12 stars, bowing, 11 stars then, because he's a 12th star, bowing down to him. And the image given to us in Revelation is this. Therefore, who can this woman be? This wonder. The woman definitely must be Israel. Israel, the moon, the sun, and the 12 stars, including Joseph. So that would be the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel is indeed a wonder, because God had called out Israel from the Gentiles, from the nations, and Israel became a people covenanted with God. Therefore, it's a wonder. Alright? So we identify the woman. When once we identify the woman, then we can identify the child. The woman travailed, had pain, and wanted to deliver the child. And of course, the child would be none other than the Messiah that was promised. And you can confirm it in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, that when Mary was to give birth, he would give birth to the Messiah. And so we have the woman and the child. Then we have the second wonder in chapter 12 verse 3. And what is this wonder? It's the dragon. And from now onwards, we are going to read about this dragon. Let's look at 12:3.
Verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns and his upon his head. Now again, we know that this must be symbolic. The 7 there also must be symbolic, that there is no such animal of this description. So again, if you have a good Bible with a reference margin, it will refer you to Genesis chapter, to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1. And you will read, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and so on. That would be Antichrist. That would be Antichrist. And of course, if you go further, it will refer you to Daniel chapter 7 of the dreadful beast, and so on. So by turning from reference to reference to reference to reference, you know how to interpret the scriptures. Do not come in without imagination. Scripture searching is very important. Yesterday I told you about the Bereans who searched the scriptures daily to see if the things were so. And you should also search the scriptures to find out what I have said and what I have written in my notes are so. So search the scriptures, be Bereans, for they are more noble than those in Thessalonica. Alright, let's now go on to chapter 12 verses 3 to 6. Chapter 12 verse 4 says this, and she brought forth male child, the Messiah, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now let's learn how to get the perspective of interpretation in verse 3. She brought forth a male child. That must be the Messiah. This male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, if you turn to another reference, you'll find that this will happen in the future. This child that is to be born was supposed to be a ruler who will rule with a rod of iron in the future. And if you turn to the reference, I think then Revelation 19, you'll find that this is the coming Christ who will set up his kingdom in the millennial kingdom, and then he will rule with a rod of iron. But when he came, born as a child, and he came, he grew up into a man, he never did this. He never did this. But he was destined to do this. Alright? That was his end. So the people said, we have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. And we read, after that he died, he was buried, he was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, read verse 6. Very important. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. She fled. Israel fled. But we do know from history, no such thing happened. That after the Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead and had ascended up into heaven, no such thing happened. True, she was dispersed. Israel was dispersed through the four corners of the earth. But there was no incident in the past of how they fled and how they were protected by God for 1,260 days. In other words, there was a gap. There was a gap between the attack on the Messiah and the time, between the time when the woman fled and the time when there would be this attack on the Messiah. So there is a gap of time between verse 5 and verse 6, and that gap is the gap that has lasted nearly 2,000 years. You remember again in our first night, I told you about the gap. That the Old Testament prophet did not see the church in between two mountain peaks. The peak of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The valley is the church age, the church dispensation. And the Old Testament prophet, looking through their view, their sight line, could not see the valley in between of the church age. They saw only Christ's suffering and Christ's coming in glory. Now, between verse 5 and verse 8 is the church age. Remember, I told you too, that Revelation chapter 6, right out of 19, would have to do with the Jews. The church is already in heaven. The church is no more on earth, and therefore the church is not there. And you see now how when you look, when you study Revelation, you must have all this perspective in mind. Otherwise, you mix up in all your, you get all confused. So there is an interval, a gap. Okay? Now, with that understanding, we go on. There was this attack. It's still future. It has not come to pass yet. This is the time when the Israel had fled into the wilderness and the dragon would be persecuting Israel. The attack on Israel in the prospective future in verse 6. And verse 6, we read, "And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her 1,260 days. 1,260 days. What are these 1,260 days? Are we going to treat these 1,260 days literally as really 1,260 days or a long period? Well, let us see. Again, let's compare scripture with scripture. This period of 1,260 days occurs in chapter 11, verse 3. Chapter 11, verse 3. And we read, "And will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." Why are these two witnesses there? Because there is great persecution in Jerusalem. In verse 2, "But the court which is outside the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the nations, and the holy city shall they tread under 42 months. The 42 months are equivalent to the 1,260 days when Jerusalem would be trodden down and the two witnesses will be there to witness to save all those who would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, it occurs again in chapter 13 and verse 5. Chapter 13 and verse 5, where we read, "And there was given unto him a mouth spoken great things." That is the dragon. I'm sorry, that is the Antichrist, the first beast. "And blasphemies and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And that's why there was great tribulation. But I'd like you to note another phrase that is used of this period in chapter 12, our chapter, and verse 14. "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and half a time, from the face of the serpent," that is the devil. Now, God protects Israel, and she will fly from the persecution of Israel, protected by God for a time, times and half a time. In Hebrew, grammar is such that when there is one, it is called singular. When there are two, it is called dual. When it is more than two, it is called plural. In English, one is singular, two and more, plural. So the fact that here it is described as time, singular, times, dual, half a time, will mean one plus two, three and a half. Three and a half. 3.5 years. Now, what has all this to do with 1,260 days, 42 months? Let us do a bit of calculation. 1,260 days divided by 30 days in a prophetical month in the Bible will give you 42 months. And these 42 months divided by 12 will give you 3.5. Why 3.5 years? Why 3.5 years? What is so significant about 3.5 years? Again, if we compare scripture with scripture, we go back to Daniel chapter 9. And Daniel had a vision of the 70 weeks. 69 weeks have passed in history. Then there is a gap again. A gap between the 69th week and the 70th week. The 70th week has not come to pass. The gap between the 269 and the 70th week is now. The 70th week has not come to pass, but when the 70th week comes to pass, it says that that will be a period of 7 years, and in the midst, and when Satan, or when Antichrist, will make peace with Israel. And in that covenant of peace, at the middle of the 7 years, he will break. Antichrist will break peace, and then the second half, he will persecute Israel. And that is what is meant by the 3.5 years. First, there is the first 3.5 years where there should be peace. And then in the middle, he will break the covenant, and then he will reveal himself as the Antichrist, and he will persecute the Jews of Israel for 1260 days. And if this is known as the Great Persecution, the Great Tribulation. And if the Lord Jesus Christ, it says there in Matthew chapter 24, does not come to rescue his people, none of his elect will be delivered, will be saved. And so Jesus Christ will come, and we with him, to save Israel. And that will be the end of the 70th week. So if you compare scripture with scripture, you will have a perfect understanding of what scripture really is all about. Alright. More of this tonight, if you come. Now, behold of the defeated dragon. Chapter 7, chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. Chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. Then there was in heaven Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels. As I pointed out earlier, Satan was cast out from the very presence of God into the atmosphere to be the prince of the power of the air. But he had access from that position to heaven. And that's why in the time of Job, we read that Satan would walk around the universe, and then now and again he would report to God, and he would accuse the brethren of certain things that they had done. So he would have access to God still. But he will be the prince of the power of the air. But the time is coming when even as prince of the power of the air, he will be cast out from the air, and he will come to the earth after a battle or a duel with Michael. Verse 8. And he prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. That will be yesterday with return of we discussed the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. Alright. Satan will be in the second heaven. He will be now cast out from the second heaven onto the earth. Verse 9. And the great dragon, so the dragon will be defeated, he and his angels cast down to earth. Now verse 8 and 9, and we have the dragon identified for us, that he is none other than Satan himself. The dragon and its deception identified in chapter 12 verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, that devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. And now we see the great persecution taking place. When he comes down, he knows that his time is short. Chapter 12 verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before day and night. Please remember this. Today, the accuser has access to God to accuse us. He is the accuser of our brethren. When we do wrong, he will say to God, look, this child is yours. He's supposed to be righteous, but look how unrighteous he is. So he will be always accusing you. God's presence is the accuser. But we thank God that in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we also have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that on one hand we have the accuser, on the other hand we have the advocate who supports us. So that when the accusers accuses us of our unrighteousness, the advocate would say, all have been cleansed and forgiven. That is what the advocate is doing. Treasure the role of the advocate in the presence of God. Alright, let's go on. Verse 10 and 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. And during the great tribulation, many of them would have to be martyrs. So that in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14, when John asked in heaven, Who are these people? And he said, they are the tribulation saints. Those people who would stand up for righteousness and for the Messiah, they would be martyred by Antichrist and their souls and spirits will go into heaven. They are the tribulation saints. Verse 12. So, we see the song of victory being sung. Therefore rejoice, you heaven, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And that's why it's going to be a great persecution. Never experienced before, never will be experienced in the future. Because this is satanic persecution, not the ordinary persecution. And when Satan comes down, he will create havoc to ensure that God's people will be destroyed. But God will protect them during that period of 1, 2, 6, 4 days. The secret of the victory, they believe in the blood of the Lamb. Now let us remember this. When these people believe in the blood of the Lamb, they will not be members of the church. The church has been raptured up into heaven. They are now in heaven. This is on earth. They will not be incorporated into the church. Because when the church is taken up into heaven, the church will be complete. It will be the bride of Christ. Complete. You cannot find, I think our brother Tifuk's daughter is going to get married soon. It is horrible for the bridegroom to find the bride suddenly without an arm, or without a nose, or without some other limb in the body. So, when the bride is married to the bridegroom, the bride is complete. Nothing is to be added anymore. And so those who are saved during the Great Tribulation, they will not be added to the church. They will be the tribulation saints, and they will be guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb. More about that tonight. So, the summary of the victory. Chapter 12 and verse 12. Therefore, rejoice, heaven and you that dwell in them, write to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And so, there comes the end. Now, the great tribulation, from verses 13 to 17. Brother Sifu, how much will it? When do I end?
10 minutes.
Good, thank you. Alright, now we come on to the Great Tribulation. It's tremendous. But here we have just a brief account. We'll be studying that in great detail tonight. Right. Verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, that will be the Jews. He did not persecute the Christians. The church are up there already. It's the woman that would be persecuted, Israel, that brought forth the male child. Alright, the church never brought forth the male child. Verse 14. And to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. This is a repeat and a reinforcement that God will protect Israel during the time of the great persecution. So, God's protection. Verse 15 first. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And of course, the persecution will be so great, like it will be like a flood, the tsunami. But this one will be greater than tsunami. It will sweep away all those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who believe in God and the Messiah, they will be protected. They will be protected. And so, we go on from there. So, for God's people, they will be protected. And also, for those who are Christ's possessors. Now, let us know this. In the great persecution, the Messiah will still be preached. The gospel of the Messiah will still be preached. But it is not the same as now. You remember before the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, John the Baptist was preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." John was preparing Israel for the kingdom, the millennial kingdom to come. If they had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as king, then the millennial kingdom would have come about and there will be no gap of the church. But they say, "We will have no king to reign over us. We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him." And with that, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And the church was called out from the nations. And that's how the gap came about. But the time would come when the church would be raptured up, and then God would take up his people again, and the Messiah would be preached again. And it was, the gospel would be, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And because after the great persecution, there will be the kingdom to come. So, but these people will not be in the church. I'd like to repeat that. Now, to help Satan in his persecution of Israel, he has two assistants. One, Antichrist. The first piece, as we read in chapter 13, verses 2 and 4. Antichrist. We read, "A beast rises up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Now, all these images of this fierce beast would be found in Daniel chapter 7, where you have got all these animals listed. It will be the height of what Daniel saw in his vision. It will be the first beast, Antichrist. But there is another assistant helping Satan to persecute the Lord's people in the great tribulation. That will be the second beast. "I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon." Very peaceful fellow. He is known as the false prophet in Revelation. So you have got the evil trinity playing their roles in the great tribulation. Satan, the serpent, the dragon. The first beast, the Antichrist. The second beast, the false prophet. Just as we have three persons in the divine Godhead, so Satan duplicates this in his own Godhead. And Satan to counter God the Father. Antichrist to counter Christ, his Son. The false prophet, like a lamb, very humble, very peaceful, to comfort, to counter the Holy Spirit. And so you have the evil trinity playing their part very actively in the great tribulation. In the end, the dragon will be caught. And we find that the sentence on the dragon's assistance. Chapter 9, verse 20. Please look at this verse, a very important verse concerning hell. Chapter 19 and verse 20. "And the beast was taken, that will be Antichrist, and with him the false prophet, the second beast, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them." Please note, these assistants can do a lot of miracles to deceive people. So don't just believe in miracles. Miracles are not the criterion of truth. They are not. They are the criterion of deception. "And he received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. Then these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." Today, if you quarrel with anybody and the person says to you, "Go to hell," don't be afraid, because you will never go there. Today, there's no one in hell. Today, there's no one in hell. Today, if anybody does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he dies, he goes to Hades. But the time will come when after the great judgment at the great white throne, then he will be cast into hell. The first occupants of hell, which is the lake of fire, are the two assistants, Antichrist and the false prophet. They are the occupants there. And what happened to Satan? The Satan, we find in chapter 20 verse 2, he will be bound for 1,000 years and he will be in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, waiting for his time, so that Christ on the earth will reign over the earth for 1,000 years in peace. He will be in prison 1,000 years. Chapter 20 and verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. At the end of 1,000 years, he will be released for a short period. Chapter 20, verses 7 to 9. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan shall be loosed out of the prison, and he will go around the earth, collecting all the rebels together, and there will be a last rebellion against God. And in verse 10, we find that God will strike these rebels and Satan with fire from above. Verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, that will be hell, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. This is hell. And you will remember that the false prophet and the Antichrist would have been there for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan was sentenced to join them there. They were still there after 1,000 years, and they will be there together with Satan forever and ever. This is hell. So, for us all, what have we learned in this year of the dragon? Be sober. The devouring lion and also the deceiving lion, the dragon, is active in the year of the dragon. His appointed time is short. His authority can now be felt. We can find that today the devil is very, very active, deceiving a lot of people with miracles and so on. Do not fall prey to these wiles of the devil. Is Satan bound? No, Satan is not bound at this juncture. His assistants are in place. Now you can see the prophecy in Daniel taking place, where the end of the world is coming. We have no time to discuss all these in details, but you look at the conditions of the world around, we find that the world is coming to an end. He is about to flood the earth with a great persecution that will take place. The advanced technology is here. Today you find that even babies, our children, can now play with iPad, iPod and all these other things. They are very advanced now with technology, where the gospel, as it was prophesied in Matthew, could be preached around the world. No problem now with all the modern technology that we have here. So, the advice to the saints: wake up, watch and pray. Be wise to his ways and do the will of the Lord. Redeem the time. Walk in wisdom. Watch in all things. The word is to be read and obeyed. And I hope that I have encouraged you to read the word of God, to study the word, and to see if the things are so, because the time is at hand. Sorry, this should not appear. Okay, so that's the end of the account, and we hope that you will have a better understanding now of what the future is about. May the Lord bless all of you, and may the Lord grant that in this year of the dragon, you may be well prepared to sustain yourself against the wiles and the deception of the devil. We'll see you tonight if you are able to come. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, We thank you for the revelation of thy word. We thank you for the promised rapture of thine people, when the Lord Jesus Christ will come and will catch them up, and to meet with him and to be with him, and we to meet our loved ones in heaven again. When he comes, all of us will be united as one. We thank you for this wonderful hope that is before us, the blessed hope that we can look forward to, that Lord, the Christ will come again. In the meanwhile, Lord, help us to live the faithful life that we should, knowing that all these things will come to pass. Help us, Lord, in our conversation, in our conduct, to be what we ought to be, that while the time is short, we may do whatever we can for the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now dismiss us with thy blessing, we do pray. Be with us for the rest of this day and for this evening, when we continue to study thy word concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thee thanks for the time that we have spent around thy table. We thank you for the token remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ in the bread and in the cup. And we are going to do this only until he comes again, when we shall no more keep this supper, because we shall then see him face to face. We give thee thanks in Christ's precious name. Amen.